on Hospital 3605. I've been asked to hold that from today. But apparently AOI and the governor are negotiating now. The governor recognizes they can make that. So he wants to work out a compromise on that.
Hi.
Hi there. And we're going to start out with a work session on 2004.
Or
2007, excuse me.
Okay.
And I think everybody's familiar with what 2007 does. It does put the cigarette tax into a security fund.
Mm-hmm.
And it does a lot with the bill from earnings from the interest that go to, I think, for the five different areas. And I'm inclined to myself to kind of pass the way it is. So if you have any discussion on it, I'd like to have that.
Okay. Sure. I think there are some good things in this bill. I had some concerns that maybe it's a little bit early to be passing it out, given the other discussions that are going on in the building. And I have to admit that I would personally like to spend this money for health-related things, and as much as I love transit, I don't understand the $5 million for senior disabled transportation out of the tobacco settlement. But I just, I'm going to be a no. I just think that we need to wait and see what all the body decides needs to be done with this money before we do it. It's left to my own. I would just plan to lock it up and use the proceeds for health-related things, like some of the stuff in the bill. But
all right.
There are things I'd like to be changed, but I mean, overall, I think it's pretty good allocation.
Okay.
I just want to say maybe some of the seniors and disabled have emphysema. Yes, I move that House Bill 2007A be moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, any discussion? We have a voice vote, please.
Senator Duke?
No.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Wilde?
Hi. Service, and you have a volunteer who wants to carry it?
Well, should you? But I would be happy.
I'd be happy to carry it if you nobody wants to carry it. If somebody wants to carry it, they're welcome to this.
Okay. Unless there's something else.
Okay, now we're going to open up a work session on 2431. And 2431 increase the community right to know. This is a bill that has to do with the reporting information about text being used in the industry, and I think we had a pretty good discussion on it a couple of days ago. And,
Chair,
yes?
If you would indulge me, I have an amendment and someone to speak to it.
In 2431?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You all have it. It's the dash 810.
810.
Mary O'Brien.
Thank you for coming today.
Thank you, Senator Griffin. I'm Mary O'Brien, one of the authors of Eugene's Toxics Right to Know Law, a member of the Toxics Board now 2.5 years in Eugene, and served all last year on the Governor's State Task Force on Hazardous Substance Information Reporting Community Right to Know. As you may be aware, essentially the entire public right to know community, which of course includes about 90% of your constituents, support right to know, and the entire public rights community, public right to know community, is opposed to the HB 2431 in its current form. What Senator Dukes has graciously agreed to introduce is three amendments that would allow this bill to go through with the concurrence of the public right to know community, and I'll just run through them briefly. They're in your A10 2022-A10 amendments there. And the first one is on page, the first page, line 21 and 22, which changes the current language that the fees for the program would not exceed $2,000 for any single facility to say not exceed $10 per full-time equivalent employee for any single facility in any calendar year. And the reason for that is that a $2,000 cap, in order to cover Eugene's program or many moderate-sized or small-sized communities, would force the small businesses to carry almost the entire burden of the program disproportionately. For instance, in Eugene, if the 48 companies that were reporting each had to pay $2,000 to cover the program, which would not even cover the program, then a business of 10 employees would be paying $200 per full-time equivalent employee, and the largest business would be paying $2 per full-time employee. So this change would make the fees proportional to the size of the company. The second amendment occurs on page 3 of the dash A10 amendments you have, and it would be in line 14 and line 23. And what this has to do with is section 3.7, which deals with the processes for adding a chemical to be reported by a company. And what this, the only changes that would be made here is that the hearing and public comment on individual chemicals would occur for chemicals added after a law had been passed. In other words, all the debate, all the complaining, all the negotiations about what chemicals go on the list or don't go on the list goes on before the bill's the law is passed. Then you would have hearing and public comment on any chemicals added in future years or future times. So the process of hearing and comment would be the same as is currently in the Dash 8 amendments, but it would only be done for those chemicals added later. The last amendment, the third amendment that would allow this bill to go through the House and Senate with concurrence from fights and lobbying and so on, occurs on page 3, lines 28 through 29, and that has to do with the deletion of the requirement of that a community establish procedures to exempt a facility, an entity from all or part of its the program where the local government determines that the operations of the entity pose little or no risk to the public health or the environment. And the reason we want this amendment, this line deleted, is that the whole purpose of community right to know is to get an overall picture of the total cumulative amounts of toxic chemicals that are being released into the air, land, and water. And if you then require a community to establish procedures to exempt any that are kind of contributing some toxics but only posing a little risk to the environment, you're losing the total picture. Because the purpose of right to know is not to point a finger and say this facility is threatening the health a whole lot in a community. It is to see overall how the community is doing in its cumulative load. You can't have that picture if you're exempting here and there and there and there, this chemical and that facility. So these three amendments, if you would include these in the HB 2431 that you send from this committee, you would find that the public right to know community would not be fighting this bill.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Sean, would you want to come up and respond on this?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm John Ledger with Associated Oregon Industries. I'll be very brief. Most of these things were discussed at almost brutal length with our negotiations with the governor's office. We're pleased to say the governor has indicated he will sign the bill with the Dash 8 amendments. The Dash 10s were discussed and either rejected by one side or the other, probably our side, frankly. I'll just touch on each one. Removing the $2,000 cap. First of all, I don't know if it's a good thing to base an environmental fee on the number of employees you have. That's kind of an employee tax, and that makes no sense when you're looking at companies that have a bigger or lesser effect on the government. So if you have a company on the environment, so if you have a company with a very small effect on the environment, but it happens to be big, then you pay more under this proposal than otherwise. We need a $2,000 cap in there so that if a city sets up a program, it will probably have to kick in some type of a copay, frankly. And that's what makes people decide whether it's something they really want to do or not. So we think the $10 per employee, you'd have some facilities in Eugene paying $10,000 just to have data input for the city program. There's no relationship to anything. We would oppose that. Adoption of a list of chemicals to be reported by the city council. We think it's very reasonable to have the city council have to adopt the list of chemicals. We don't set criteria in the bill that they have to use. They can use any criteria they like. Right now in Eugene, we have a bakery that is reporting the amount of vinegar it is putting out in baked bread as a toxic output. And one of the reasons for that was the initiative simply clumped all kinds of bills, all kinds of federal statutes, and says if anything's covered in any of these federal statutes for any reason, it's covered in the list. But we think if the list had to go through a public process through the city council would be able to get input from, for instance, the bakery. And the bakery would say, this makes no sense, and we think the city council would say, we agree. Maybe they wouldn't. But we think the list of chemicals is so specific and so critical that having it go out to a public comment is a perfectly reasonable thing. This doesn't restrict what they can put on the list. If they want to include vinegar in baked bread, they're free to do so. They just have to do it willfully. Lastly, the exemptions. I'm puzzled why having an exemption for facilities that have no or little environmental impact would be so burdensome. If this bill is not about public health, I don't know what it's about. If we're not saying you have to exempt everybody below a certain tonnage or above a certain tonnage. We're saying cities simply put in some procedures. You figure out how to do it. Just address the problem. Say you have some way so that a facility can come to you and say, we don't think we're big enough or cause enough of a problem or it's just vinegar and bread. We need a way that you can address this and loop us out of the system. And we don't think that will be a problem. The city is fine and capable to decide whether they should do that or not. Cities make decisions on how many police they hire. They make decisions on laws that send people to jail. They can certainly decide on what type of facility should be included or not. So with that, we would urge you to reject the dash 10.
Okay. Any questions for John? Okay. Did you move the...
I am. I moved the dash 10.
Okay.
Amendment. Amendment in the hallway.
Yeah. Okay. And is there any discussion on anything else?
I think they're reasonable, and it would be nice to bring this bill out in such a way that it had even broader support than it has at the moment.
Okay.
On the $2,000 amount, my understanding of this, and I hope it's a correct understanding, is that that is a cap. That is not the expected amount to be assessed against each and every business, but that it will be variable underneath that based on the type of reporting that would have to come from.
That's my understanding.
Because earlier testimony suggested that perhaps it's $2,000 would be assessed against each business, and I really didn't think that was very reasonable to suggest that. So,
okay.
I wanted to get that on the record.
On the record.
Be the intention.
Thank you, Senator. Can we have a voice vote on this A10?
No. Senator Duke?
Aye.
Senator Shannon?
No.
Senator Wild?
No.
Chair Gerber?
No. Fail.
I need the dash 8 amendment.
Okay.
To the House bill.
A8. Yeah,
okay.
A8. Any discussion on A8?
To the House bill 2431.
Okay. Can I have a voice vote, please?
Senator Duke?
Aye.
Senator Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Wilde?
Aye.
Senator Ripper?
Aye. Carry. Move it. What has amended?
Okay, oh, I move the House Bill 2431A to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, discussion. If not, could we have a voice vote, please?
Senator Duke?
Aye.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Wilde?
Aye.
Chair Gerstler?
Aye. Okay. You have a volunteer who wants to carry it. Oh, I'll carry it. Okay. Okay. We have House Bill 3595. Do you have to tell us what the bill does on 3595?
House Bill 3595 prohibits a city or county from imposing a tax on attorneys whose principal practice is located outside the taxing authority and who do not have a place of business located within that authority. We have -A5 amendments that would further clarify the bill, basically take out lines 4 through 9 of the bill and replace it with this. So the bill would be prohibiting a city or county from classifying for tax purposes a person engaged in the practice of law as doing business within that city or county if the person conducts business only at a courthouse located within the city or county. When we last met, there was discussion about the bill as written as being overly broad. We believe this language narrows it down to take care of the situation where an attorney has to appear at the courthouse because that is the place that they're required to appear, and then this would prohibit them from being taxed for that.
Okay.
Activity.
Everybody understands it?
Yeah. And Representative Minnis supports the amendment.
Okay.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Do you have to move the A5?
Did you need amendments?
We have A5 amendments.
Okay, I move -A5 amendment to House Bill 3595.
Okay, any objections to the amendment? Hearing none, we'll accept the amendment.
I move House Bill 3595 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, can we have a voice vote, please?
Senator Duke?
Aye.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Wilde?
Aye.
Chair Gerber?
Aye. Okay. Now, on 3605, I know that...
Oh, there okay.
Oh,
should I?
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. If you have some problem, you can share it.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
That's the kind of work I'd like to see on a bill. I think that bill was dead when I got here.
Yeah.
Now it has life.
Well, it's a good bill now that it was allowed to do everything.
That's right. All right.
I would, I've announced the 3605, the governor, and apparently you and I have meetings on that one to try to resolve the differences before we hear it.
Okay.
And they think they have a compromise, so we'll do that, and we will adjourn. Thank you for everybody for coming down.
Time to go.